Third John is the 64th book in your Bible. Little bitty book of 14 verses and 294 words. It's the shortest of the single chapter books as far as word count. This epistle was written as an encouragement, and it's aimed at one fellow. Perhaps the reason why it's aimed at this man named Gaius is revealed when he tells us that he writes to him because he wasn't confident that if he wrote it to the church at large, it would even get through. The structure I've given you from Bullinger's Companion Bible. Remember, I gave you the term chiasm. Here's another one. You see, it begins and ends with a salutation, and the second part and the next to last part is a walk in truth, and then there is a commendation and an exhortation, two positive things commensurate one with the other, and the middle point being the condemnation of one fellow named Diotrephes. I've seen several attempts to outline this short little book, and there's so little in it, it's hard to how to outline something that's this short. But of all of them that I looked at, I thought, well, Bullinger's done it here. He's got as nice a layout as I've seen. So he's writing to a fellow, the well-beloved Gaius. Well-beloved. John uses the word beloved more than anybody else that writes in the Bible. So, dearly beloved, this is the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. I like that expression, loving in the truth. You and I were brothers and sisters in Christ.
Yeah.
So that speaks to something greater than you or I are. It speaks to a relationship of an eternal nature, brothers and sisters in Christ, and Christ, he is truth.
Yeah.
Gaius is a name we can find elsewhere. In Acts chapter 19, verse 29, there's Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia. In Acts chapter 20, there's Gaius of Derbe, verse 4. In Romans 16, verse 23, Gaius hosts Paul. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 14, there's Crispus and Gaius, one of them that Paul baptized. I don't believe they're all the same Gaius. And I don't think you can pin down to whom John is writing.
Yes.
If I were to make a guess, it would be the Gaius of Acts chapter 19, verse 29, and it wouldn't be the one that Paul baptized. Regardless, he's writing to this individual, and he's writing to him because he loves him, well beloved, and he's writing to him in truth. The truth is important in that they're surrounded by Satan and the Antichrist's lie program.
Yes.
Note verse 9 of 3 John. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence, receiveth us not. So, I wrote to the church. Wasn't any point in that, because Diotrephes wouldn't have anything of it. So, that's why I believe he's writing to Gaius.
Yes.
Because of the opposition of Diotrephes. There's quite a number of people with whom I have correspondence and communication, and their pastor wouldn't throw water on me if I were on fire.
No.
And that's just how that is. So I communicate with them. And don't send the letter to the pastor to give to them, because it wouldn't get there.
Yeah.
Or if it did, my Gaius would be in big trouble. Gaius, apparently, then, to be loved in truth, would have passed the litmus test that we read about in 1st and 2nd John, he would be a lover of the brethren. He would be a commandment keeper, whether it be the law or the new commandments. So John speaks then of a good thing, whom I love in the truth. In 2nd John, you see also in the first verse, the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth. Might then help me to understand why he's writing to that individual. He loves that lady in truth. He loves Gaius in truth. Now I found out why he wrote to Gaius, because Diotrephes would have intercepted it and short-circuited the message. So maybe, I can't know these things, but maybe that's why that was true in 2 John as well. The verse just is a salutation. It's just a greeting, followed by a verse that is grabbed hold of by faith healers and used to advance their faith healing agenda. This is not their only verse, but it is a verse used. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. You see the health and prosperity gospel there?
Oh, yes.
Health and prosperity, even as thy soul prospereth. So as your soul prospers, you should expect wealth and health. How do I get my soul to prosper? Well, you come to my church, you do things my way, you give money to my bank and get baptized in my tank, and your soul will prosper, and the result of that, well, you're going to be healthy and wealthy. The idea of faith healing, the idea of a prosperity gospel, is something that has been the currency of a certain element of preaching in America ever since there's been an America. There's been crooked charlatans in the Christianity business for a very, very long time. Everybody knows about Jimmy Carter's brother, Billy, of Billy Beer fame. How about his sister? How about Ruth Carter Stapleton, the faith healer? You know, if two members of a family are bonkers and you make the third member of the family president, maybe you needed to think about that a little longer before you ran him up a flagpole to see who would salute.
Yeah.
You got Billy Beer and a faith healer and Mr. Peanut. Well, he brought us the national malaise, didn't he?
Yeah.
I'm not trying to teach political lessons. I keep using that as an illustration. And it may set your teeth on edge a little bit, but what I'm trying to do is wean us off this worldview.
Yeah.
And help us wake up and smell the coffee a little bit. The faith healers will grab hold of verses such as Matthew chapter 8, verse 17, where Jesus says that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, him saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. The faith healer will stand before a crowd and say, well, you believe in Jesus, don't you? Oh, yes. Well, you believe what Jesus said, don't you? Oh, yes. Well, Jesus said, he bare our sicknesses. Oh, yes. So why are you sick? Finus Jennings Dake on his radio broadcast, The Bible Answer Man, before that was picked up by somebody else, Finus Jennings Dake said no Christian should ever be sick one day in his life.
Yep.
He died in a hospital.
Yes, he did.
rewriting his theology. Francis and Charles Hunter had a ministry of You Can Heal the Sick. That was their best-selling book. Millions of copies of You Can Heal the Sick. And it gave you a formula of things that you can do whereby you can heal the sick. And the lady, when she wasn't traveling with Charles, was in the Baptist Hospital in Nashville, Tennessee, having her pink eye treated.
Yes.
Oral Roberts having a healing meeting in, of all places, Oklahoma. The tent blew down. People were bleeding, injured, broken bones, and they called ambulances.
No.
Why?
Lack of faith.
I don't know why he couldn't have stopped the wind in its tracks and healed anybody that got a bruise. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 speaks of He who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. Don't you believe you have a present possession of the atonement? Oh, yes, bless God, hallelujah. Do you have the benefits that Israel gets from the atonement? I didn't know there was a difference. I thought all the Bible was for me. It all harkens back to Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. Now, that's in the Old Testament, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And Peter, he quotes that. And Peter's in the New Testament, isn't he?
Yep.
And so are we, aren't we? So what Peter says, we get, don't we? In Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in His sight, and wilt give ear to His commandments, and keep all His statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee. So a fellow named Cheryl writes a book called None of These Diseases. When I Googled it last week, that book had sold 6.2 million copies. None of These Diseases. What are the these diseases? Well, I've got guy lumbago in my arm. What are the none of these? I've got whatever your current disease is. That's not the none of these diseases.
No.
Even if you claim the verse, there are certain diseases to which this verse applies.
Yes.
And it's the plague verses,
yes,
diseases visited upon Pharaoh and
yes,
Egypt.
Absolutely.
So, see those diseases over there? I won't give you those. That's what the verse doctrinally is about.
Yes.
None of these, well, that encompasses every disease that anybody could have, right? No.
No.
So, it's misappropriated and applied to people today.
Yeah.
None of these diseases. I've known a few sick people in this theology who have to deny they're sick, pretend they don't have the problem.
Yes.
Horror stories are told of people who don't care for their children and don't give them medicine or take them to the doctor because that would be a lack of faith.
Yes.
People die.
Yep.
I mentioned earlier the Brownsville revival. It breaks your heart. The closest I ever came to killing anybody was a pastor at a funeral, I think.
Oh, yes.
Because my next door neighbor lost her two sons. And this pastor, he's putting the burden on the parents.
Yeah.
As if they could do anything about it at this point. If I had a chance to strangle whoever the preacher was, that told the parents in Florida that it would be a lack of faith to take your baby to the doctor. And they took their baby in a Coke cooler to the Brownsville Revival to get him resurrected.
This is heartbreaking.
Can you... Some people got arrested. Somebody needed strangulated. Mm-hmm. What an awful thing. That's as bad as I've ever heard.
Yeah.
But I've heard quite a few over the years
of
people dying because they wouldn't...
Mm-hmm.
It's not just Jehovah's Witnesses and blood transfusions. It's Pentecostals and Charismatics who won't take their kid to a doctor because, oh, that'd be a lack of faith.
Mm-hmm.
Christ himself said, the sick have need of a physician. For the people to let their baby die and never have been told that by their pastor, the pastor needs whacked.
Yes.
He had no business. Well, more harm is done by people that don't know what they're doing.
Yes.
Unintended consequences, my foot, it was stupid. Harm is done by these people. I get a phone call. I'm in my Christian bookstore on Salem Avenue, which Route 49 and my store is here. This street right here is Brumbaugh that ran behind my store. The phone calls from this lady that lives in this house on Brumbaugh. She listened to me on the radio. She said, you seem like an honest man. Is my daughter sick because of my sin? When Brother Milbury came in and I could leave, I drove over to their house. In a crib is a 40-year-old woman who weighed 70, 80 pounds. She had MS. I forget what she had. Her mother's in her 60s trying to care for her. The Church of God preacher had been there and prayed with them and told them that since Faye wasn't getting better, there must be unconfessed sin. Well, he'd done all his miracle jibber jabber.
Yeah.
He'd done his anointing. He'd done his hosta lashandai. He played the whole deck of cards. He had nowhere to go except blame the victim.
Yes.
So he put the blame on Faye. Faye's literally, she's in a crib. Look down the sides. 40-year-old woman. Her mom, skinny little. He said, come with me to the bathroom. Huh? When you're in ministry, may I tell you, you never know what's going to happen next. Come with me to the bathroom. She lifts the top off the tank. And hanging on a hook is a bottle of Budweiser, which she hid and kept cold in the water in the toilet tank. She was a secret sipper, see? She drank her Budweiser, and she wanted to know from me if that was why her daughter didn't get healed. Good night. I have a calendar on the wall there. I'd like to take it down and hang a few preachers.
Yes.
Really? How despicable. I made several trips.
Yes.
Tried to undo the damage done by a Church of God ordained, certified preacher. Idiot with the wrong doctrine.
Yes.
In Joshua, in chapter 1, there shall not any man abide be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. So you get to run things. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. Do you see how I could grab that verse? Why, you're with Moses, aren't you? Aren't you one of God's people? Aren't you doing the best you can to keep the commandments? Aren't you a tither? You're with Moses. And so, nothing can stand before you.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Absolutely.
You ever meet a really good salesman?
Mm-hmm.
And you go home with something and you look at it and say, why didn't I buy this? Why didn't I buy this? Ohio has a law that if the sale takes place at your house, you have 3 days to undo it. Now, if you went to Wally World and bought it, that's your problem.
Mm-hmm.
But if he came to you, you have the opportunity to have remorse over your purchase. Buyer's remorse is a law. One of the reasons why there is the green... Oh, well, you can't door-to-door solicit.
Oh.
It's named after a county in Pennsylvania. Is because people were so naive.
Yeah.
The encyclopedia salesman just talked too fast. I didn't know I bought 38 books. I thought I bought this book. They keep coming. I didn't know. You ever have that? In your life, you ever had one of those? Maybe nah, you're smarter than I am, but I bought several things. I got them home and I thought, this wasn't smart. This wasn't smart. I think I saw one of the dumbest things I've ever seen lately. They got this chainsaw that they've got a big plastic house around it, and it looks like an alligator mouth on the front of the thing. All it is a chainsaw. It doesn't do anything that a chainsaw doesn't do. It just comes in this 3 foot long alligator mouth thing. Boy, you'd have to be a person that never used a chainsaw to be vulnerable for that. They're selling them.
Oh, yes.
Don't think the only fast talking crooks sell encyclopedias.
Right.
They'll sell you Joshua chapter 1, verse 5.
Yes, they will.
And they, why? Nothing can stand in your way. And today, if you would put $100 into the offering, you'll not get the flu. Everybody's getting the flu. You've been reading about everybody getting the flu. You'll not get $100.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor's name is Piner.
Yep.
He did exactly that.
Yeah.
About 8 blocks from my store on Salem Avenue is how I knew him and knew what he did.
Yeah.
I ain't going to get the flu, because Pastor Piner said.
Really? I lost a lot of customers in subsequent conversations that I had with people.
Yep.
1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raises up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar out of the dunghill. And set them among princes that they may inherit the throne of glory. And that's a kingdom verse if ever you read one.
Yeah.
Are there any poor people in Dayton, Ohio?
Mm-hmm.
Any people feel a little downtrodden and didn't have an even shake? Hmm?
Just a few.
Very few. You suppose this kind of stuff would play?
Oh, yeah.
It does. Hmm. So, this verse, 3 John verse 2, has a lot of verses that you could use with it to teach health and prosperity.
Yes.
And it happens. It happens commonly. Job 36, verse 11. If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. Will that preach?
Oh, yeah. Ooh, yeah.
Could you sell some encyclopedias with a verse like that?
Oh, my.
We're talking God here. It's in God's book here.
Yep.
You read it yourself, didn't you? You believe God's book, don't you?
Yep.
Happens.
Yes, it does.
I've borne witness to it.
Brother McLean, sure it's nice to see you today. I'm getting older, you know, and I need me, I think, one of them bigger print Bibles.
Here comes her husband, the preacher. Oh no, bless God. I feel an anointing coming down. And he's doing his gig with his wife. She knows it's a gig.
Yeah.
He's doing his gig. I'm the only other person in the store. Apparently he figures I'm in on the same crooked religion that he is. I said, Charles, that ain't funny. Last time I ever saw Charles Lee. I really liked his wife. Sister Lee was a sweetie. Charles was a con. Now, it's one thing to be a con, do your time, get out, get saved, and do right. But when you continue with the con, I'm a little concerned about whether you really got saved or not.
Yeah.
You're supposed to do your conning before you got saved. Oh. But he had a routine, and he's just playing like he plays every Sunday. And he's doing it in my store. It was just the three of us. It's not funny, Charles. In the hospital visits I made, I never had to compete with a faith healer to go see somebody.
Not there.
Hospital visits, emergency room visits, nursing home visits, nursing home meetings. I never had to say, excuse me, Mr. Faith Healer, I'll wait till you're done. When you heal them all, then I won't have anything to say. But they're never there.
No.
Where is the Dryden Road Pentecostal Church's emergency room ministry waiting for the helicopter to land?
Good question.
Where's it at? Guy drives up to my bookstore in a Cadillac. It was 3 weeks long. Comes out and he's got what used to be called rainbow signs. Different colors.
Yeah.
Livingston used them for his songs. He has red, green, yellow, and his gradation. Then they print over the top of it. He had rainbow signs for his meetings that he was going to be holding somewhere on the west side. Christian bookstore, healer, you need to put my sign in your window. And I said, make a deal. My man that works with me, he's coming in shortly. When he comes in, we'll go down to Children's Medical Center. You find where the bald-headed kids are. They've got the diseases of cancer. And you heal them and send them home with mom and dad. And I will put your sign up everywhere in Dayton. First we'll do that, then we'll do the signs. You wouldn't think a Cadillac that big and that long could lay rubber in a parking lot. He couldn't get away from me fast enough. crooks. After a while, I picked up something of a reputation. An Episcopal priestess came into my store. She said, "Where are your icons?" I said, "You've met an iconoclast." After a while, you get known. I think that's good. So much phony in this business. If I didn't have a Bible, I think I'd have quit a long time ago.
Yes.
When you look at Christians, you don't see much.
No.
Finis Jennings Dake says of our subject verse, "If any one of these blessings was not the will of God, would it be the wish of his most beloved apostle?" What's my tactic? I've just triangulated you into the verse.
Yeah.
If such blessings are the will of God for one man, they are for all men alike who will have the faith for them, because there is no partiality in the gospel. That note from Dake's Annotated Reference Bible.
Yes.
See what he's done?
Oh, yes.
He put his reader into the verse and said, if it worked for Gaius, it'll work for you. Why, I could tie that into Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. I could tie that into I am the Lord, I change not. I could tie that into none of these diseases. I could tie that in. I need to buy a tent.
Yeah.
I believe I'm your next millionaire.
Yeah.
As long as I don't care how many people I hurt and how many lies I tell, I could make that work.
Yeah.
My opinion, and a dollar will get you a coffee at Mickey's. Without the dollar, my opinion will get you nothing. So I know the value of my opinion. Won't even get you a cup of coffee. My opinion is the upper echelon of the healers and the health and wealth people are, to a man, to a woman, crooked.
Yes.
They know they're liars. They know they're purveyors of lies. I think you've got local folks with an IQ of an egg salad sandwich that want to do right, don't know any better, and it's in there. I found it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A friend of mine in the Assembly of God could sing, he was handsome, had the great hair.
Oh, yeah.
Who's the former coach of the Dallas Cowboys that's the talking head now on all the Jimmy Johnson? He had hair like Jimmy Johnson. Jimmy Johnson has what I call Baptist hair. He's got the perfect evangelist hair. I'd give my left arm for a shock of that hair. I lost my point. What was I talking about?
The Assembly of God.
Oh, yeah, John. He confided in me, and he had to go into my office in the back room to do it. He said, "I've never talked in tongues." I said, "John, good. What are you doing in the Assembly of God?" He said, "Do you know how much they're paying me?" I taught him a lot of things that were troublesome, but he'd hide them.
Yeah.
I taught him the truth of the King James Bible. He was working that up into a routine. You say, what?
Yeah.
He was going around America with the routine he was doing, burning rock and roll records because of the subliminal messages, and you play them backwards and it says, "We love the devil, we love the devil."
Yeah.
You know.
Really?
Really. He was going around the country and they'd have rock and roll record burnings.
Yeah.
Well, these gigs only play so long. How many times do you watch Star Wars? Once or twice, you're done, right? So you need a new... So he was going to have a Bible burning of new translations, and he was going to teach him about the King James Bible. So he went to Troost Road in Kansas City, where you play, where you audition your new routine.
Yep. Truly.
This stuff goes on. You audition your new routine, and they deep sixed it.
Yes.
Can't do it. They're getting money from Zondervan.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much crooked in this business.
Mm, yeah.
It disgusts me. I so want to be pleasing to the Lord. I so want to do right. I got a very disquieting email night before last from a person in England. And that person had heard me recommend The Silence of God, written by Sir Robert Anderson, dealing with the subject of a silent heaven. And he emails me on page whatever, third paragraph, and Sir Robert Anderson says something that makes it sound like Romans 9, 10, 9 and 10 is the gospel. Is that what you believe? I emailed him back. Why would you think that I believe that? He emailed me back. Well, you recommended Sir Robert Anderson's book. And I said, you're scaring me. When I recommend a book written 100 years ago, by a guy that's got 200 pages in the book, if you're going to read that and think, well, everything I'm reading here, that's him?
Mm.
You need to sort these things out on your own, because if I can recommend a book and you read something in that book and you think it's so because I recommended that book, I'm wrong to make any recommendations to you.
Yeah.
You're scaring me. I got Galatians 4:10 going on with you. I'm sorry. Yeah, and I've learned a lesson. When you have that kind of... You see the responsibility that put on me that I didn't want? Didn't know I had?
Yes.
So I mailed him back, and I gave him Galatians 4:10. I said, you're scaring me that anything I say to you, you're going to take as the gospel, and you're not going to put it... You need to take what I say and consider it. That's it. You develop your own belief system.
Mm-hmm.
I say something, you look it up, you read the verses, you process it mentally. Consider it. I'm not your final authority. I recommend a book. You read something in a book and you think I believe something that I don't believe because you read it in a book that I recommended? That's scary to me. I recommend you read the Bible. Judas went out and hanged himself. I'm going to go...
Yeah.
We got to get past that sophomoric babyish... I use that to say this. That kind of stuff happens, and the crooks take advantage of it.
Yes.
And pluck people like chickens. He's a great man of God, and he recommended that book, and it's in that book, so I'm going to do what that book says. If I know I've got you on a hook like that, I can play you in the water for a long time.
Yes.
Hmm? Now, I did the right thing. I don't care if I never hear from him again. It'd be better off for both of us, I think.
Yeah.
Well, you shouldn't be reading that book that I recommended. You need to buy 8 copies of each one of my books, and I'm being silly, but I could play him, could I not?
Oh, yeah.
If I'm elevated that high in his thinking's wrong, because I ain't elevated that high.
No.
about this. Dake's wrong. The faith healers, I'm going to say, they're largely liars.
Yes.
I gave you Isaiah chapter 11. Wouldn't hurt to read that about the lion lying down with the lambs. That becomes a song, Peace in the Valley, written by Thomas A. Dorsey, not Tommy Dorsey, the band leader. People sing that. People have the idea, if I could just get under the spout where the blessings come out, whether that's in Brownsville, whether that's at the Toronto airport, whether that's...
Yeah.
3 John, verse 2. We're done.